Welcome and Saba blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening later on recording and other devices. Saba blessing everyone on this Sabbath, the 24th of January, 2026. I hope everyone is keeping warm by God's grace. And if we don't have no other way to get warm, we pray that the angels and the heavenly guests will be among you all to keep you all nice and toasty. This is our review of our chapter 30 entitled Coming Again, part 2 of our lesson 30. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And please keep our dear God Eyes family lifted, our dear sister. We will ask our dear brother to be able to share the tiny theme hymn entitled Jesus is Coming Again, number 213.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Echo it, hilltops, proclaim it, ye plains. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Heavings of earth tell the vast wandering throng. Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds, the anthem prolong. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Nations are angry, by this we do know. Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run to and fro. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. We are going to ask any of the little ones to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work, and the 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people that's in the Sabbath and the people that's joined the Sabbath. Please protect me and everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear little sister. It is story time, dear ones. And we have the listening ears for we are going to review our lesson from last Sabbath. And our dear brother will be able to share the review for our chapter 30 entitled Coming Again, part 2 in our storybook, The Story of Jesus.
All right, the Bible lesson for our The verses from our Bible lesson are taken from the following books. I can't even read that. Our opening scripture is taken from Luke 21:25, KJV. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. That should have been in red instead of blue. That's Jesus' words. And in Luke 21:26, it said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And 24:30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I think Jesus was telling this to some of the Pharisees or something. And here goes, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. And here we have May 19, 1780. I don't know what they did. Let me see here. Anyway, a quarter century later came the dark day, like a giant black crater. Again, fear held sway. And November 13, 1833, we had a meteoric shower. They say the stars fell that day. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. People believe that was back in 1755, but I think they'll be surprised when it happens in the future. Margin says the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the great Lisbon earthquake. Just a minute, let me remove something here. November 1 of 1755, that was pretty devastating. The next one's going to be bigger. And then there was the dark day. Go ahead. Since that time, earthquakes, tempests, tidal waves, pestilence, famine, and destruction by fire and flood have multiplied. And up here on the right, it shows a tempest. That's a bad wind. Fire, we have seen those. Tornadoes, ooh, they get lots of those in central part of this country. Earthquakes, they're happening all over the place. Floods. Oh my, everybody's suffering from floods, it seems like. Blizzard. Oh, no, we didn't get a blizzard, but we got a little snow. Meteorites. Well, they come and go, but we'll see bigger ones in the future. Storms. Yes, we see storms. And sandstorm. We don't have enough sand around here to have a sandstorm, but in parts of the country where we have lots of sand and the wind comes up, they have what they call sandstorms. And they, what causes an earthquake? A fault line, an epicenter. The focus is usually down deep in the earth, sometimes miles. And the seismic wave shakes what's up on top and causes lots of problems. I was just reading about the San Francisco earthquake. And it was calculated that it was an 8.2, which we haven't seen for a long time. Very bad earthquake. Upon the earth, he said, there shall be distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Luke 21, 25, and 26. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, his people, from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24:30-31, the elect of the obedient. The Savior adds, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh, that it's springtime. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What's near? Christ's coming. Matthew 24:32-36. Christ has given signs of his coming. He says that we may know when it is near, even at the doors. If we are wide awake, we'll realize that what's happening in our world are signs of his coming. Next slide, please. Christ has given signs of his coming. He says that we may know when he is near, even at the doors. When the trees put forth their leaves in the spring, we know that summer is near. Just so, surely, when the signs appear in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, we are to know that Christ's coming is near. These signs have appeared. We think maybe they happened when they did because Christ wanted to come a whole lot earlier and they would have been real close by. But they're coming in the future. May 19, 1780, the sun was darkened. That day was known as the dark day, and it'll be redone. In the eastern part of North America, so great was the darkness that in many places the people had to light candles at noonday. They didn't have electric lights. And until after midnight, the moon, though at its full, gave no light. Many gathered believed that the day of judgment had come. No satisfactory reason for the unnatural darkness has ever been given except the reason found in the words of Christ. Man couldn't figure it out, but Christ told him. The darkening of the sun and the moon was a sign of his coming. November 13, 1833, there was the most wonderful display of falling stars ever beheld by men. Again, thousands believed that the day of judgment had come. They believed. Since that time, earthquakes, pestilence, tempests, tidal waves, pestilence, famine, destruction by fire and flood have multiplied. All these and the distress of nations, which we're seeing right now, with perplexity declare that the Lord's coming is near. This was taken from the story of Jesus, page 175 and 6, I believe. Gracias.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3 of our chapter, of our lesson entitled, Coming Again, in our time taught lesson book, The Story of Jesus, and that will take place the 31st of January, 2026. And I'm going to hand it back right after our closing scripture for Toddler's lesson. It's taken from John 14, 1, 2, 3. When the desire ages, behold, he coming. Sunlight Sound Studio, Memory Verse CD.
Told you I go to
What a blessed promise. And we are going to hand it back to our dear brother so he will do the review of our lesson.
After looking for these things, what will be seen?
The answer to number one is, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Amen.
That's right. It's the second coming of Christ. Who will God send with a great sound of a trumpet, and what will they do?
The answer to number two is, he shall send his angels, and they shall gather together his elect.
Go and gather the people that are obedient, and raise the dead. What did Christ foretell about the signs of the sun, moon, and stars?
He says that we may know when he is near, even at the doors.
That's right. When we see those things, we know he's coming soon. And I believe those three things, the earthquake, the falling of the stars, and the dark day will happen again. Bonus question. When those things come to pass, the writer even believes their future. What did many believe they were?
Thousands believed that the day of judgment had come.
That's right. They thought, oh my, it's judgment day and we are not ready. Or they wouldn't have been frightened. They would have said, yes! Thank you for listening and participating.
Amen, indeed. I remember little ones. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. We are going to ask any of the little ones or elder sibling, mommies or daddies, so even our guests, to open our review section for our family meeting. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and my mommy and my daddy. And please protect us as we are going to open Sabbath with the Lord and learning new words. And please protect everybody that's here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sister. And welcome to all the dear ones that are coming in. It is time for Tiny Tots and parents to review what they learned from their lesson in God's creation through nature. Our topic, we are still in Mammals of the Bible. So this Sabbath, boys and girls, we will go over part one of our lesson, of our segment from last Sabbath entitled Walking on Water. And our dear brother Josh will share.
God bless you, everyone. And this is our review of our topic, Mammals of the Bible, taken from FBL or Family Bible Lessons, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 10, Walking on Water. We'll be reviewing The Bible verses for our nature segment review of lessons 10 and entitled Walking on Water are open scriptures taken from Matthew 14:21-23, and it reads, "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone." We will be reading about the spiritual insight before the nature lesson. Before we begin, we read in this picture of those same mountains, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Matthew 14:23. Jesus prayed for his disciples. Are you disciples then? How thankful we can be for his example of prayer. And the memory verse for the story is Psalm 105:4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And the character quality of the story is thankfulness versus ingratitude. Thankfulness is the expression of gratitude to God and to others for how they have benefited my life or one's life. Up a mountain to pray, Jesus now commands the multitude to disperse, or in other words, leave. And his manner is so decisive that they dare not disobey. The words of praise and exaltation die on their lips. In the very act of advancing the season, their steps are stayed, and the glad, eager look fades from their countenances. And that throng are men of strong mind and firm determination. But the kingly bearing of Jesus and his few quiet words of command quell the tumult, or quiet them down, and frustrate their desire. They recognize in him a power above all earthly authority, and without question they submit. The desire of ages page 378-379. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Matthew 14:23. As Jesus prayed, so can we. How thankful we can be for his prayers. We're dealing with nature, mammals of prey, lions. And Bible reading is from Matthew 14:22-33, Mark 6:45-51, and John 6:15-21. The current study is the Desire of Ages, pages 377-382. Do more research about thankfulness. We'll be reviewing in last week's lesson 1, Cats Are Mammals. The term big cat is commonly used to relate to any of the five species of the genus Panthera: lion, Panthera leo, tiger, Panthera tigris, jaguar, Panthera oncum, leopard, Panthera pardus, and snow leopard, Panthera uncia. Except for the snow leopard, these big cat species can roar. A broader interpretation of the term covers species outside Panthera, including the cougar, and we signed to a name with Puma concolor, and it has many other multiple names, which I'll give another day. The clouded leopard, Neophilus nebulosa. The sons of clouded leopard, we signed to a name with Neophilus diardi, cheetah. Scientific name is Synonyx jubatus, and even the several lynx species. However, these added species also do not roar. Notwithstanding tremendous diversity in size, various cat species are pretty alike in both body structure and behavior, except the cheetah, which significantly stands out from the other big and small cats. All cats are carnivores. Human activity, and particularly the growing human population and hunting, are the principal causes of declining big cat populations and consequently the reduction of their habitat. And here, on the bottom of the picture, it says there are 38 species of cats living on Earth. Most of them are comparatively small. And the distribution of big cats map, vivid map. Here are all the ranges of all the big cats of the world. The orange is for mountain lions, which live in both North and South America. Then there's also the olive green is for the mountain lions plus jaguars. Both species live in most of half of South America. In the only parts of North America they can be found is in Mexico, where I'm from. The swamp green. The brownish gold color over here is for jaguars, which they live in east northwestern and mid and eastern central South America. The sea green is for the cheetah, which are in Africa, and even some parts of the Middle East in Asia, but that's where they used to live, but now they mainly just live in Africa alone now. The blue is for the lion, which live in all parts of Africa, from mid-north to mid-south. The red is for the leopards, which live in almost all of Africa and in many parts of Southern Asia and also the Middle East. The purple is for the tigers, which only live in Asia, in many parts from India to southeastern Russia. And finally, the burnt orange color is for the snow leopards, which lives in the central parts of Asia. In historic and current geographic distribution of lions, the lion population quickly declined and dropped by approximately 30-50% in the late half of the 20th century. Estimates show that the African lion population was 17,000 to 47,000 in the wild in 2004. In the last Asian refuge, India, only about 400 lions lived. And from this map, you see the range from where all these big cat species live. The green is for jaguar only, and like we saw in the first map, they used to live in most of America and Mexico and nearly all of South America and even some parts of Alaska, probably. The red is for the tiger and leopard, which live in Southern Asia, in the Pacific Islands. The yellow is for the leopard only, which is in the many parts from mid to northwestern parts of Africa and in the Middle Eastern parts with the Midwestern Asia. The dark gray is for the snow leopard only, which lives in parts of Mongolia and Midwestern Asia. The turquoise is for tiger, leopard, and snow leopard, which live in all parts of Asia from Russia to to some what eastern parts of Europe and China. The purple is for the tiger, lion, leopard, and snow leopard, which is lived in parts of India, and in some parts of Sri Lanka. The pink is for the leopard and snow leopard, which is in parts of Bangladesh, that's over here, in southwestern Asia. The brown is for the lion and leopard, which lives in most parts of Africa, and the mid blue is for the lion only, which lives in northwestern Africa. From this diagram for the lion, you see all the body parts of it. It is the parts of a lion, a lion's anatomy. You see the head, ears, nose, whiskers, mouth, tooth, jaw, tongue, foreleg, paws, the abdomen, the neck, the back, the fur, the hind legs, and the tail. It says, as on our left, lions are the second largest big cat species in the world. Most lions found in the wild live in the southwest, southern, and eastern parts of Africa. Lions are very social compared to other cat species, often living in pride that feature females, ospreys, and a few adult males. Next slide. Continuing. Oh, one moment here, this my computer is getting low. Okay, continuing back. Size and weight. Lions are the second largest big cat species in the world, with males typically being larger than females. Adult males can weigh up between 330 to 550 pounds and measure up to 10 feet in length, including their tail. Females are generally smaller, weighing between 265 to 400 pounds and measuring up to 9 feet in length. And body structure. A lion's body is muscular and broad-chested, with a short, rounded head and round ears. They have a hairy tuft at the end of their tail, which is used for communication and balance. Lions are digitigrade animals, thus meaning they walk on their toes and not on the soles of their feet. For their mane, one of the most recognizable features of a lion is their mane. Male lions have a thick, shaggy mane around their neck and head, which can range in color from blonde to black. The mane serves as a form of protection during fights with other males and can also indicate their status within a pride. The teeth of the claws. Lions have sharp teeth and retractable claws, which they use for hunting and self-defense. Their canines are long and pointed, while their molars are flat and used for crushing bones. Lions also have strong jaws, which allow them to take down large prey. Senses. Lions have excellent senses, including sharp eyesight and acute hearing. Their sense of smell is also highly developed, allowing them to track prey over long distances. Information from Lion Anatomy, amazing list of 25 different parts of a lion, visual dictionary. And here are recordings of different sounds the lions make. First, we have the lion's hum. Then we have the lion's roar.
Peace there.
And finally, the lioness's purr. Next is the leopards and lions, Africa and Asia. The leopards pass the most widely distributed of the panther attacks, ranging across sub-Saharan Africa, parts of the Middle East, and Asia, as far east as the Russian Far East and Indonesia. Their remarkable adaptability allows them to thrive in deserts, grasslands, mountains, and rainforests. Lions, historically found across much of Europe, Asia, and Africa, are now largely restricted to sub-Saharan Africa, with a small endangered population of Asiatic lions surviving in India's Jura Forest. Lions primarily inhabit savannas and open grasslands, where they can use group hunting strategies effectively. Wildcat. Weak, stealthy, patient, and intelligent, wildcats are naturally cool killers. Most of them hunt on their own, using their claws and teeth to catch, stab, and cut up their prey. They're athletic, with supple, muscular bodies that are well adapted to running, climbing, leaping, and even swimming. They live in various habitats across Africa, Asia, Europe, and the Americas. And from here, in these pictures, we see the lion, our main animal pool, is Panthera leo, Africa and Asia, vulnerable. The tiger, the real largest cat in the world, is scientific name Panthera tigris, Asia, status endangered. The jaguar, or whose scientific name is Panthera onca, they range Latin America. Their status is near threatened. The leopard, scientific name, Panthera parda. Their range, Africa and Asia. Their status is vulnerable. And finally, the snow leopard, scientific name is Panthera unica. Their range is Asia, and their status is vulnerable. And here we have distribution status of the seven cats of the Panthera lineage, which are the snow leopard, Panthera uncia, tiger, Panthera tigris, jaguar, Panthera onca, lion, Panthera leo, leopard, Panthera pardus, the mainland cloud leopard, Neophilus nebulosa, and the sun-dove clouded leopard, Neophilus diardi. The Panthera lineage includes some of the most iconic and widespread big cats on the planet, each occupying distinct habitats across various continents. Among the five species of the Panthera genus, the snow leopard, Panthera uncia, tiger, Panthera tigris, jaguar, Panthera onca, leopard, Panthera pardus, and lion, Panthera leo. Their global distribution reflects a broad ecological adaptability from dense rainforests to high alpine terrain. Alongside these, the Neophilus genus includes two smaller but ecologically significant species, the mainland clouded leopard, Neophilus nebulosa, and the thunder clouded leopard, Neophilus diardi, which inhabit the forested regions of Southeast Asia. And the distribution of the big cat map in the here from this diagram of the wildcat family, says wildcat family, Panthera lineage. From 10.8, this is what man at Silly Evolution thought was taught for some of these cats. The Panthera lineage, we have the Bay Cat lineage, the Caracal lineage, the Leopardus lineage, the Lynx lineage, the Puma lineage, the Leprechaun lineage, and the Felis lineage. And 6.4 is the Neophelis genus and the Panthera genus. And 1.5, we have the main cloud, the main land clouded leopard, Neophelis nebulosa, the thunder clouded leopard, Neophelis dar, the Panthera genus, 3.5, and to 2.8, we have the snow leopard, Panthera uncia, and the tiger, Panthera tiger. And 3.0, we have the jaguar, Panthera onca, and 2.8 from below are the leopard, Panthera pardus, and the lion, Panthera leo. And here we have a range on which continents and countries these cats live in. The distribution map, cats of the Panthera lineage. The lions, most of Africa and parts of India. Tigers, most of Asia, from Russia, China, India, and other Pacific islands like Borneo, New Guinea, Indonesia, and a few of the other smaller countries. Jaguars, most of South America and parts of Mexico, being on the bottom of North America. The leopards, most of Africa and Asia. The snow leopards, all parts, parts of Asia, except up to the islands. And the clouded leopards, which is in the parts of Asia, are China, India, Indonesia, Borneo, Papua New Guinea, and a few of the other smaller countries. And here, in this slide about the leopard. The leopard is a medium-sized wildcat that lives in a variety of different habitats across sub-Saharan Africa and southern Asia. Distinguished by their uniquely beautiful spotted coat, leopards are apex predators that ambush prey while perched in the trees. This hunting method is unlike their big cat cousins who engage their prey in high-speed chases. And on our left are all the different kinds of leopard species. The Javan leopard, the Arabian leopard, the Sri Lankan leopard, the Indo-Chinese leopard, the Indian leopard, the Persian leopard, the North China leopard, the Amur leopard, and the African leopard. Here in the anatomy and appearance, we have the leopard's whiskers, the dark spots on its face, the 5 feet and lower legs. They have tan to yellow fur with black spots arranged in circular patterns or rosettes. They have very sharp claws that are kept retracted except when in use. The strong legs for leaping and climbing, and they're long, and they have long tails. Information from Sherry Amzel, www.explorenature.org. Leopard, Panther, Pardus. The anatomy appearance. The leopard is an animal with a long, lithe body, which powerful leg support, and a long tail that they use for balance in the trees. Leopards can vary greatly in their coloration and markings depending on their surrounding habitat. Those on open grasslands have a light yellow, sun-bleached black background coat. Meanwhile, those that live in forests tend to be darker to blend into the shade and have more markings for camouflage. The dark ring-like patterns that cover the leopard's coat are rosettes, which provide them with camouflage in their surrounding environment. Leopards are incredibly strong and muscular animals and are able to pull themselves up trees using their legs and flexible claws. Like many other feline species, the leopard is able to draw its claws and to hold the skin on its paws. That ability ensures that their claws don't become blunt while the animal is walking about. Their remarkable eyesight and hearing gives them a great advantage during night vision. And here from this range picture of the geographic range of the leopard, Panthera pardus. The light green is for the extent where they're likely to be found. which is in many parts of Africa and the southern parts of Asia. Then we have possibly extent, which this includes this area over here and sort of these parts of the Middle East, like in Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and many other places. We have possibly extinct, which is in some of these parts of Africa, which is this pale or yellow. And finally, the gold, which indicates where they are extinct in many parts from China to Southern Africa. All these is on our right would be the leopard scientific classification, its kingdom, Animalia, phylum, ordata, class, mammalia, order, carnivora, family, Felidae, genus scientific, Panthera, name, Panthera pardus. We need our complete guide to classification of animals, leopard conservation status, near threats, and leopard locations, Africa and Asia, like we see in the map. Information from www.britannica.com, mazanimals.com/animals/leopard. In our next slide, we have the links of the world. And here we read lynx genus. The four cats of the lynx genus are the bobcat, the Canada lynx, the Eurasian lynx, and the Iberian lynx, all of which we see on our left. The lynx lineage classification and scientific classification or taxonomy, the lynx cats belong to the cat family, the Felidae, and the small cats of family Felidae. The higher and lower classifications of this group are as follows. Kingdom, Animalia, or animals, phylum, or data, or vertebrates, class, Mammalia, or mammals, order, Carnivora, or carnivores, and suborder, Cubiformia, or cat-like. Their family is Felidae, and their subfamily is Felinae. Information on the distribution of the big cats map, visit maps. Oh, and below we see either of their scientific names as well. So the bobcat scientific name is Lynx rufus. The Canadian lynx scientific name is Lynx canadensis. The Iberian lynx scientific name is Lynx parlensis. And the Eurasian lynx scientific name is, well, Lynx lynx. Our reference screen of our lesson, Mammoth of the Bible Review, are taken from our study book, The Desire of Acer, Chapter 40, A Night on the Lake, Part 2. When left alone, Jesus went up into a mountain apart to pray. For hours he continued pleading with God, not for himself, but for men and for those prayers. He prayed for power to reveal to men the divine character of his mission, that Satan might not blind their understanding and pervert their judgment. The Savior knew that his days of personal mission on earth were nearly ended, and that few would receive him as their redeemer. In travail and conflict of soul, he prayed for his disciples. They were to be grievously tried. Their long-cherished hopes, based on a popular delusion, were to be disappointed in a most painful and humiliating manner. In the place of his exaltation to the Son of David, they were to witness his crucifixion. Continuing, this was to be indeed his true coronation, but they did not discern this, and in consequence, strong temptations would come to them, which would be difficult for them to recognize as temptation. Without the Holy Spirit to enlighten in the mind and enlarge the comprehension, the faith of the disciples would fail. It was painful to Jesus that their conceptions of his kingdom were to so great a degree limited to worldly aggrandizement and honor. For then the burden was heavy upon his heart, and he poured out his supplications with bitter agony and tears. The disciples had not put off immediately from the land, as Jesus directed them. They waited for a time, hoping that he would come to them. But as they saw that darkness was fast gathering, they entered into a ship and over the sea toward Capernaum. They had left Jesus with dissatisfied hearts, more impatient with him than ever before, since acknowledging him as their Lord. They murmured because they had not been permitted to proclaim any change. They blamed themselves for yielding so readily to his command. The reason that if they had been more persistent, they might have accomplished their purpose. Desire of Ages, page 379, paragraphs 1 and 2. Three bonus questions. You'll find the answer in both the Bible and in the book itself. One, what did Jesus command his disciples to do? The answer is in Matthew 14:22. Two, then what did Jesus do? The answer is also in Matthew 14:22. And three, where did Jesus go? The answer is in Matthew 14:23. Our closing hymn for our toddlers study is entitled, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. God be with you till we meet again. Would anybody else like to take a verse?
God be with you till we meet again. Unseen wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils did confound you, put unfailing arms around you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. Beautiful. We are going to ask any one of the little ones by the help of the parents to have closing prayer. May you unmute your mic.
Let me bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you again, Father Jesus, for bringing us safely through another week to worship you on this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for the participation of all the little ones, Father Jesus. Continue to be with them this day. Be with their parents as well. Be with all of us in different sections of the country that is suffering different type of high levels of temperatures today. Freezing, Lord, be with comfort and providing heat in every circumstance, I pray. Be with us as we go to the other sections of your study. Continue to bless us with your presence and also with the lessons that we are about to learn. Thank you again for being here with us, for gathering us from every section of the world. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will continue with part 3 of a new lesson entitled Coming Again from our study book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place, dear one, January the 31st, 2026. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.